Joshua chapter 8 in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 8. Love God's Word. The book of Joshua is a powerful book. It's a book about fighting, though. It's a book about conquest. You know, as they come into the promised land and start working their way through, taking care of the enemy through God's power and then claiming what God has given to them. There's a lot of things we can draw from the book of Joshua, but I want to look at one of the more familiar stories in the book of Joshua. See, Joshua chapter 6 is when Jericho falls, and then right after Joshua chapter 6 comes 7 and 8, and in chapter 7, you've got where, you know, they're starting to go after Ai, and that is chapter 7 and 8 that covers that. And in chapter 7, there's the sin that prevents them from victory. And then when they deal with it in chapter 8, everything changes. And I love when you look at those pictures of what you can do. There's so many different things we can get from the two chapters. But I kind of want to do, I'll start out with kind of an overview of 7 and then part of 8. But I want to focus on later on in chapter 8. So we'll read those verses and it'll take us a little while to get there. But I want to start Joshua 8:18 is where I want to start. And it says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thee, thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran. As soon as he had stretched out his hand, they entered into the city and took it and hasted to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them and saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled into the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And another issued out of the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And they took the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, wherein they chased them, they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and of women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai." And here's where I want to stop with this one. "For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth, Lord. We've already felt your presence here tonight, Lord, in the songs and the testimonies. Lord, I pray that you'd use me to be able to preach tonight. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would bless everything that happens here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So Joshua chapter 7, right after Jericho, the men go to fight Ai, and you see that they spy it out and they say, well, it's only going to take about 2,000 or 3,000 men, and they go, and we find out that because of their sin, that they had to flee from the enemy, and 36 men died in that fight. So we know that from that chapter, if you're familiar with it, it's Achan who had sinned against God. He had taken things from Jericho that he shouldn't. But you notice something right off the bat. Achan's sin affected more than just Achan, more than just him. It affected his whole family. And then the 36 other families were affected as well, those that perished. So you see after that Joshua starts to grieve and complain to the Lord as if almost the Lord's the problem. You know, you read that in his prayer. And then God responds by calling it out. He called out the sin that they had, the sin that was in the camp. And you know, here's the problem. We see this many times in our lives. We're at a place where we don't want to be. We're at a place where things aren't looking great. And sometimes it's because of sin in our lives, an unconfessed sin. And we need cleansing from time to time from the Lord. He's forgiven us of our sins, but sometimes we just need some cleansing from the Lord. And it had taken them to this place. And one of the big things is you understand is it wasn't God's fault. From where they were at, this is not God's fault that they were running from the enemy and everything else in the land that He had promised. But He told them back in chapter 6 and verse 18, He told them, He said, "And in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." So He warned them. He said, everything in Jericho is cursed. You don't touch it. You don't take it. And then He told him the silver and the gold belong to the Lord in verse 19. So here's the thing. They weren't supposed to take anything. Achan takes some of the stuff. And then as they're crying out to the Lord and they're complaining and everything else, the Lord tells them, He said, listen, the reason you couldn't stand before your enemies is because you're accursed. He told them they would be. He said, if you take of those accursed things, it'll make you accursed. And He said, neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing from you. You know, and that's where a lot of times you hear the phrase, there was sin in the camp. And God said, you've got to deal with it. You've got to destroy it. You've got to get rid of it because that sin is separating you from the power of God. It's separating you from God's presence and God's will. And even though this is an Old Testament story and we're not physically fighting and we're not taking land or anything else, we can learn the exact same thing. Sin still separates. There's no way you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with sin at the same time. It doesn't work that way. So they went from being victorious. They went from God's power to now they're retreating. And then they're trying to figure out who had taken it. Who was it? And then they find out that it's Achan. And one of the interesting things is in verse 21 of chapter 7, you find out what he took. And he took, the Bible says, a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. And it says, and I coveted them and took them. So we see something that happened right here. That goodly Babylonian garment, that good is the fact that it says goodly knows that it was pleasing to the eyes. It would have looked good. It was something, a fancy piece of clothing. And he even said that he coveted it. He wanted it. He saw it and he lusted after it. He wanted it. So he took it and then he hid it in a hole under his tent. And God says to utterly destroy the city. He didn't want them carrying anything out. But here they are after they had taken something. It weakened them. It divided them. They were in trouble. And here's the thing. That garment, it was unique. It was valuable. It was something, you know, I'm sure there were colors or patterns that made it so where they could tell where it was from, where it was made from in Babylon. So it would have looked like something that was magnificent to the eyes. But here's the problem. Achan would have never been able to wear that out in the camp. Right? They came from Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness. They didn't make a stop in Babylon along the way. So there's no reason he should have that. So he would have never been able to wear it outside. And isn't this what the devil does? The devil entices, he tempts, especially with things that are good to look upon. Remember, he's been doing that since the beginning with Eve, Adam and Eve. It was good to look upon. And here they gave in and there was little to no enjoyment. He couldn't enjoy that thing at all. He had to bury it in the dirt and hide it. And here's the other thing. That wedge of gold, I'm sure that thing was worth a fortune. He couldn't spend that either. Where's he going to take that? And they're going to say, well, where'd you get that from? We were slaves in Egypt. Where'd you get all that gold from? So here he is. They didn't do any gold mining while they were wandering in the wilderness. So all that's left to do is hide it and hope that nobody finds out. Isn't that the truth? That's all that sin gives. It gives pleasure for a season, for a little bit of time, and then you have to hide it and hope that nobody finds out. The same thing is still true today. But here's the thing. God knew what was going on the whole time. He knew exactly what was happening. Achan's sin was revealed by God, and it affected his whole family as they were stoned. So now that sin is gone, that he never got to enjoy anyway, chapter 8, they removed the sin, but now they still have Ai to deal with. Remember, they tried to fight Ai on their own, and now in chapter 8, they are discouraged because it's the same enemy that made them flee, the same enemy that had, overpowered them and everything else. And look what God says at the beginning of chapter 8. He starts off, and the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." See, at first they tried to fight Ai on their own. You don't see where they went to God and asked God, what do you want us to do? No, they sent two spies out and decided how they were going to take Ai. In fact, they said it'll only take 2,000 to 3,000 men. That's it. It's not very big. That's what they said, being all prideful. But in chapter 8, verse 1, God says, "Take all the people of war with thee." You see what he's saying right there? Not just 2,000 or 3,000. I want you to take everybody. Right? I want you to take every single one. And here's the thing. Achan, he was tempted. But here's the thing. You can even look at Achan. It wasn't the devil's fault that he took that stuff. And it's not the devil's fault when we're tempted today. We can't blame it on him. You know what we can blame it on when we sin? We're giving in to our flesh. It's our own flesh. And this, and it is a war between this flesh and the spirit, just like you've got a literal war in Joshua's time. And here's the thing. When we give in to the flesh, these things happen and these consequences happen. But here's the thing. If you want to battle the flesh, we can't do it on our own. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to battle Ai with just a little bit, just a piece of the army. And God said, no, if you're going to battle the enemy, you better take the whole army. And that's it. If we want to battle this flesh and temptation, we can't just put on part of the armor of God. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. Well, we can't just use a piece of the Bible like some people do. They like little passages that fit the doctrine that they've come up with. It takes the whole Bible to fight against the devil and to fight against temptation and to be living a righteous life, doing God's will. And it doesn't take just a little bit of prayer. It takes a prayer life of every day, getting to and speaking with God, not just being a Christian and righteous a day or two a week, but every single day looking unto the Lord and choosing that you will this day who you will serve. It's every day, and that's what we see there. So God, but this time, now that they're not trying to fight them themselves, this time God said they're allowed to spoil Ai. He said this time you can take this stuff. You don't have to utterly destroy it. See, you think about Achan. He took the stuff when God said not to, and if he would have just waited till the next city, he could have taken things, it would have been okay, and he'd have gotten to enjoy them. But instead, he tried to get the blessing ahead of God. Isn't that what we try to do sometimes? Instead of waiting for God's blessings and God's timing, we try to take care of it ourselves. That's what happens. Over and over again. Remember, Abraham tried to do that and ended up with Ishmael and nothing but a mess. God allowed them to spoil. But not only that, God told them how to defeat the enemy. And I was thinking about that. See, the first time with Ai, they came up with their own plan. We're going to send just a couple thousand. We're going to march in there and try to take them. But you know what? If we really want to know how to defeat the enemy, do you realize God is always going to tell us how? You know where it is? It's right here. A lot of times we just don't go to the battle plan, right? We don't go to what God has told us to do. And sometimes we either don't go to Him, sometimes we don't pray to Him, or sometimes we just don't listen after we pray and ask Him. We don't listen for the answer. And like I said before, I can't find where they ever prayed to the Lord or asked the Lord in chapter 7. And you know what would have happened? If they would have prayed to the Lord before trying to do it themselves, they would have saved themselves defeat and discouragement and fear and an enemy that's now even stronger because they've already made you run one time. See, God, if they would have went to God, God would have pointed out the sin in the camp before the problem. Right? He would have pointed it out and said, "Hey, before you try to take anybody, because I'm not helping you, you go take care and deal with the sin in the camp." But this time, God plans the ambush. to lure the men out of the city, and has a small group that once everyone flees, and it looks like the Israelites are retreating again, at the right moment, they will spring in. And in verse 18, God gives the specific instructions in the middle of the battle. We see in verse 18, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. So you see what happened? The Lord told him to do something specific. And you know what I like? In verse 18, could have been a whole chapter long. It could have been Joshua questioning, Joshua doing something else, Joshua saying, I don't want to raise the spear, I'll raise up something else. But instead, we see a short verse where the Lord said, and then, and Joshua did it. That's what needs to happen more and more in our lives. We need things like a verse 18. Oh, it's not as dramatic as other parts of the Bible, but that is what God wants us to do. Right in the heat of battle, instead of trying to figure it out himself, God says, I want you to do this. Not only that, he said, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand. And that reminded me, you know, a lot of times the devil tries to convince us that we don't have what we need to do God's will, and that's a lie. God has given us everything that we need. A lot of times it's just taking what you already have and saying, God, it doesn't make sense for me to just stretch this spear out that we will win. Not fight with it. He says, just stretch it out. And by the fact of you obeying me, I'll give you the victory. It took faith for him to do that.
Yeah.
And there he goes. He does that. But you know what I like? I stopped at verse 26 for a reason. At the end of the battle, it gives a little summary. Verse 26, for Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. He fully followed God's word and God's instructions, and they completely destroyed the people, completely destroyed the city. They took the spoils. They didn't give up. They waited until God told them at the right time. They completely obeyed, immediately obeyed, and they showed no mercy to the enemy because God told them not to. And he held that spear up the entire fight. And I thought about it. It seems almost like a parallel. Remember, Moses with the Amalekites, I think, or Amorites, I can't remember which one, but remember he's holding up the spear, and remember the two were on each side holding up his arms. See, Moses had help that day to hold up the rod, and that's what brought the victory. See, in this case, I don't see where Joshua, anyone's helping him hold that spear up. He had to hold that up himself that day. And that tells me something. You know, there are some times when we're like a Moses, when we're in the heat of battle, when we're trying to follow God and trust God and walk by faith, and sometimes people will raise up our arms and help us along. And that's a blessing. But you know, sometimes we don't have that help. But you know what? He still held up the spear anyway. And that's the thing. It's a blessing when God sends helpers and we encourage one another and we're working together. But sometimes we have to fight one-on-one. But aren't you glad that we, even when we're one-on-one with the enemy is still outnumbered because we've got God. And here's the thing. He didn't drop that spear. I know it was heavy. I know it was tiresome. I know it was a pain to do that. Usually those things were heavy, and to hold it and stretch your arm would have really hurt the muscles and everything else. But he said, you know what? God told me to do it, and I'm not putting this thing down, no matter how hard it hurts, no matter how uncomfortable it is. I'm going to keep on going until the enemy is utterly destroyed. And I think sometimes we quit a little early on God, and we let some of the enemy stay around, and then we got to refight them again later. Right? The enemy will build up, gather steam, and come at us again. But you know what God said? You know what will prevent that? If you just fully trust me and you do the whole thing. And that's what we see right there. The whole fight. Sometimes it's up to us to endure to the end. We don't always get help. It's a blessing when we do. But we can't give in to the enemy. We can't put down the spear. You know what else? We're not working with the literal spear today, but we can't put down the sword either. I'll tell you what, there are times where I know it gets tough. I know there's a lot of distractions out there. I know that it's hard to carve out time, but we cannot put down the sword. I'm telling you what, this world is battling the truth left and right. It is trying to make everything that is unrighteous, everything that is sinful and wicked, this world is trying to paint it as normal and acceptable and courageous. And here's the thing, it's not easy to hold up this sword. It's not easy to keep telling the truth in this world that doesn't want to hear the truth. But I'll tell you what, we've got to be like Joshua. We got to fear not, because God's on our side. We got to keep on going and endure to the end. It doesn't matter if people around us are holding up their sword. We've got to hold up our sword. We've got to do it. There are churches all around that are giving in to this stuff. They're more concerned with how they can light everything up and how they can have a program and everything else. But I'll tell you what, ditch the program and get with the truth of the Word of God. It is so. I watched a sermon the other day. Last night, I was doing some research on somebody, and I was listening to him, and I was like, this is a bunch of junk. It's a whole bunch of words and a whole bunch of smooth talking and everything else. And he had a fancy suit. He wasn't even one of the big shots, but he was, bragging about what he had purchased for himself. And I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, you have spoken for nearly an hour and I've gotten very little out of it. The one thing I did get out of it is I can tell you don't believe in the Trinity. And that's a shame. But I'll tell you what you need is to get into this Bible. Maybe take off the fancy rings and the fancy suit and maybe park the car for a minute. And why don't you get into this thing for a minute? And that's the problem. We got a world that's just so concerned with so many different things. And when it comes into the church, that's dangerous. That is dangerous, because this world will take you for a ride. It will. Chapter 7, what did we see? It was filled with pride because they thought they could do it without. Do it themselves with just a handful, a couple thousand. It's filled with self-reliance. They didn't need God to fight the battle. They didn't talk to God. We see that. We see hidden sin in chapter 7. And that hidden sin and all of those things brought death and defeat and judgment and the enemy prevailing. But also, you know what? Even in failure, even in judgment, even in all these things, it also brought out the mercy of God. Even in the Old Testament, we see God's mercy. He's the God of second chances. He should have dropped the children of Israel many times, but he continued. He said, you're my people, and he was still with them. I'm glad he's still with us today. And we see, after that, in chapter 8, we see God's mercy. We see repentance. We see obedience. We see fully trusting God. We see not giving up and endurance. And we can see that we need to be more like chapter 8. We've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to be faithful. We have to endure. The enemy has put us on the run for too long. The enemy has put us on defense. We need to turn to the Lord. We need to listen to the Lord when he says, fear not. We need to obey God's instructions with boldness. We need to take courage. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to hold on to the spear. And I thought about a couple things in closing of holding on to the spear. How can we apply that today? You know what that spear was a reminder of? Number one, it was a reminder that was God's plan. I already told you it didn't make sense. There was nothing special in that spear. It was just like any other spear. But you know what made it special? God said, you've got it in your hand. You hold it up there and you continue and I'll fight for you. That's what made it special. I tell you what, when we hold on to this thing, we need to remember that this is God's plan. It's not my plan. It's not your plan. It's God's plan, even for our life. Not only that, that spear was the signal. It was the signal to attack. It was the signal for the ambush. It brought them on the offensive and it crushed the enemy. You know, sometimes we gotta hold it up and here's the signal of the truth. It's the beacon of light. Not only that, it was a sign of obedience. See, they raised that spear and that showed that Joshua was doing exactly what God wanted him to. I'll tell you what, when people see our obedience to God, it wants them to want to obey God as well. When they see us getting blessed by doing what God's called us to do and walking by faith, it gets other people excited about walking by faith. Not only that, it was a sign of confidence. This was the same enemy that made them run in defeat and the same one that chased them down and slayed a handful. And now they're standing up. They're not running, but they're charging at the enemy because God's fighting for them now. They were confident in God. And then it's another thing. It was a sign of endurance. Joshua didn't quit. I bet his men were getting tired. I bet they wanted to quit. I bet they were thinking, surely we've done enough. We've tackled enough. But then they could look over and see Joshua still holding the spear. I tell you what blesses me. I've said it many times. I'll go to a church I haven't been to in a while, and I see people that I've known for years in the Lord, and I look around and I see some of the same people. I was preaching down at Hillview the other night, and I saw some of the same people. I went on mission trips years ago. Some of the same ones we've been in services. Some of the same ones when I just started preaching, they were at the church. And I said, that blesses my soul to look around. The devil wants us to focus on everyone that's left. But praise God, there's people that are still at it. It was a sign of endurance. And I tell you what, the battle's not over. I'm not ready to give up. I know we've been frustrated. I know we faced defeat and disappointment and doubt and fear. But once we turn to God and rely on His strength and His Word, He will keep us. He will fight for us. We rely on His strength. He will see us through. He'll carry us through. And He'll give us the grace and strength that we need. He gave it to them for the battle. He'll give it to us today as well. I'm here to tell you, it is just this may be an Old Testament story. And we tell the kids about Jericho and Ai and different things. But it still works for us today. And I say praise God for that. I'm thankful because I've been in chapter 7. But I'm glad that God can bring us into chapter 8. And you know what? In chapter 8, you see complete victory. Not only that, they got all the spoils. That's how God works, doesn't He? The enemy promises things that we can't even enjoy. And God promises to give the victory, and I'll give you stuff you can't enjoy. Isn't that the Christian life right there? The life, our life in sin was full of temporary pleasures and sowing wickedness and then having to, or reaping it, reaping what we've sown. And then we switched to a Christian life, and now we are getting blessings, more blessings than we deserve. They got spoils of things they didn't work for, harvests they didn't plant, and anything else. And now we are reaping things that we didn't even sow, and things that God multiplied, and everything else. That's how our God is. It's a wonderful life. I tell you what, church, I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. But I'll tell you what, the chapter 7 battle of Ai would have been harder, or the chapter 8 battle would have been harder than 7, because in chapter 8, they were already scared. They had already seen them defeat them. And I'm here to tell you, that same devil that's got some people on the run in our families, that's got them enticed with different things. We can think, man, it's over. It's not over. It's not over. And you can think, well, I've given into the flesh and think it's over. It's not over. Confess your faults to Him. Confess your sins to Him. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you off. He'll bring you back up. He'll put your feet back on solid ground. He'll do that. I'm telling you what, I'm glad we serve a living God that's victorious. I'm glad He has a fear not for every situation in our lives. But here's the thing, we got to hold on. He held on to the spear, we got to hold on to the sword. We can't quit. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.